All right, let's turn to John chapter 8. And we're going to look at verses 12 through 21. There's three statements that our Lord makes in verse 12. And they're truths that every child of God are going to come to know and believe about her Lord. She's going to have an understanding of Christ. She's going to know Christ. She's going to believe the Lord Jesus Christ is her salvation. She's going to understand them because the Spirit of Christ, whom he's given to his people, gives her life and faith, hope, and understanding in her Lord. And verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And so every born again child of God is going to have these three statements. It's going to know Christ, who said these words and what he means, that we're going to have an understanding of these words of Christ. And contrary to that, every child of the devil will not understand. They will not hear it. They will not receive the word of Christ, and they will not believe him. They're not going to seek him for salvation, the one who spoke these words, not the true and living God. They're not going to seek him. They may seek a salvation, but they shall not find it. And the word of God tells us that they shall perish in their sins without a hope in Christ. I've titled the message, Christ, the Light of the World. Christ, the Light of the World. And we're going to focus primarily on these three statements that our Lord makes in verse 12, and then we'll close with the sight of the unbelief that these Pharisees had and what that means concerning them and how they shall perish. So let's look here in the text. And what our Lord is saying here, in short, is, I am the Messiah. He's declaring that he is the Savior whom God promised and whom God the Father sent into the world to save his people from their sins. And in verse 12, let's read it again. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the Pharisees that were standing there, they responded in verse 13, Therefore they said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. In their minds, this Jesus of Nazareth could not be the Christ. It just didn't add up for them. And they looked at everything he did, and they said, there's just no way. You're not the Christ. We don't believe you. And the Lord tells them why they don't believe him, why they don't hear him. In verse 15, ye judge after the flesh. Ye judge after the flesh. And anyone judging Christ after the flesh will not believe. They will not believe. They will not hear his words. And he's showing that man left to himself judges after the flesh, and he seeks a salvation that is fleshly. He seeks a salvation that he works for himself. And in verse 21, the Lord says again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, or where I go, ye cannot come. And so there's a great difference in how the child of God hears Christ and how the child of the devil hears Christ. There's a great difference in how we hear the Lord. And I want to speak to you today about the salvation that our Lord has provided for his people in his Son. And this salvation is made effectual in his sheep. Our God graciously makes his salvation effectual in the heart of his people, for his people. And we're going to look at these three statements, these three declarations of our Lord. First, I am the light of the world. And second, he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. And third, he that followeth me shall have the light of life. He shall have the light of life. And then at the end, we'll see what our Lord meant when he spoke to the Pharisees in verse 21, ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Where I go, ye cannot come. So the first thing that our Lord says here is, I am the light of the world. Now when the Lord says, I am, it's as he said before Abraham was, I am. And he is declaring that he is God. He is God. He's very God. And when Christ says, I am the light, he's declaring that he is the giver of life to all creatures. He is the creator. In John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, we're told that all things were made by him, this Christ. All things were made by the Word of God, the Son of God. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we live because Christ gives us life. We live because God gave us life. The Son of God created us and gave us life. Now, many people believe that God is the creator. And some even believe that God is their creator, meaning they see him in a more personal way than some others see God as the creator. But there's something that our Lord is saying here when he declares, I am the light of the world. There's something more special in what he's saying that the children of God hear of their Savior. And what he's saying there is, I am the giver of spiritual life. I am the Savior. I am the salvation of God. You know, in the same way that plants and beasts on the earth and man, the way we would perish without the S-U-M, right? Without the sun, we would be cold. We would be utterly cold. We would be in darkness, and if we were sprung up and the sun was no longer there, we would die. We would immediately die and perish. Well, without the S-O-N, the Son of God, we are cold and indifferent to the things of God. There's no sense, no feeling of God. We are in darkness, meaning we have no knowledge of the true and living God. And without the Son of God, we too perish in our sins. There's no life there. There's no spiritual life. And so without Christ, there is no spiritual life. We don't have it. If we don't have Christ, we have no spiritual life. There's nothing we can do to manufacture a righteousness and a life with the true and living God. There's no light, and there's no life apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Savior came into the world for this purpose, to give spiritual life to dead sinners. That's why he came, to give life to spiritually dead sinners who cannot save themselves. We cannot cleanse ourselves of our sin with our filthy, vile hands. We cannot wash ourselves and get ourselves clean by our works. And the Lord is teaching us that. He's showing us that that's why he sent the Savior. If we could save ourselves by our works, there'd be no reason for the Son of God to take upon him flesh and come and minister salvation to his people, for his people. And so that's why Christ came, to obtain life for his people. He went to the cross. He fulfilled the law of God perfectly for his people. And being the acceptable, perfect sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God without blemish, without spot, he, as our high priest, took himself as the sacrifice, as the Lamb of God, and sacrificed himself unto the Father for his people, to make an atonement, a covering for our sins. And there on the cross, he obtained life and forgiveness for his people, in whom we're told we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's Colossians 1:14. We're purchased of him, and we have forgiveness with our God. Moreover, he's saying that he is the revelation of God. He's the revealer of God. He is the light of God. He is the revealer. As light reveals what's in the darkness, so Christ reveals and makes known to us that which we cannot see. He's the light whereby we see and know God and have an understanding of who God is. We're told in Colossians 1:15 that Christ is the image of the invisible God, meaning to us, God is invisible. We don't know who God is. He's invisible to our understanding. He's invisible to our eyes. But we see Jesus. We see the Lord Jesus Christ whom God sent, and he, the light of the world, makes us to know who God is. He reveals who God is to his people so that we understand him and know God isn't like these idols. They're not like the idols that man makes with his hands or that man imagines with his imagination. God's not like that. He's not approached by our works. He's not approached or pleased with our sacrifices and the things that we think God should be pleased with. All that is taken away in Christ because we see him. And we know this is the true and living God who came and gave his life for my life, who came to put away my sin because that's how filthy and vile and dead I am in this nature. And I cannot earn God's favor or work for my salvation. And so we see in Christ that he's not approached in the way that man naturally thinks God is approached and pleased. And so we learn in Christ that we must come to the Father in the blood. That's how we're received, in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally he says, when he says, I am the light of the world, I'm the light of the world, he means I am the only salvation that God has provided. I am the light of the world. I am the only Savior, he's saying, that God has provided for the salvation of his people. There's one way, one truth, one life. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And without him, we will perish in our sins. Now, the world is how the Jews referred to the Gentiles. That's how they spoke of the Gentiles, were they're the world. There's us, the Jews, and everyone else is the world. Everyone else are the Gentiles. And Christ is saying, I'm not the Savior of only the Jews. I'm the Savior of all. I'm the Savior of Jew and Gentile. My people scattered throughout the world are saved one way, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, and let's look at verse 6. All who believe on Christ shall be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 49:6, and he said, it's a light thing, it's a small thing, that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. That's small, just the Jews. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. And so the purpose of God there is saying, you are the only salvation. And it extends not just with the Jews, it extends out to the ends of the earth. So that all my people among the Gentiles, I'll call them, I'll draw them, I'll give them my spirit, and they'll believe you as well. And they'll be saved by your blood. Turn over to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, and let's look at verses 5 and 6. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein, I, the Lord, have called thee, speaking to his Christ now, I've called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. And so our God is showing that salvation always embraced the Gentiles as well as the Jews. The promise of God to redeem a people for himself by the blood of Christ was always the will and purpose of God from the foundation of the earth. That's why he is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. And so the apostles, when they came and preached, they confirmed this. They confirmed this in their word. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And they said that when preaching to the Jews. There is no other salvation for us. There's no other salvation under the whole of heaven. There's no other name and there's no other salvation than the Lord Jesus Christ given to his people. And so with that understanding, then, we rightly understand the scriptures. And some of those scriptures where men take them and twist them to declare a Savior who's failed, one who cannot save those he came to save, right? In John 3:16, where we're told that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we understand, oh, he's talking to a Jew there who thinks that salvation is for the Jews only. But God has his people scattered among the Gentile nations. His love extends to those Gentiles out in darkness, and he's going to send that gospel word out to them so that they hear and are called by his grace and mercy to believe him. And so when Christ came, he came for Jew and Gentile, for all his sheep scattered throughout the world. And he says, he confirms this himself in John 10:16. He said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And so what our Lord brings to our understanding is that there is no life apart from him. There is no salvation apart from him. We believe and know that he is the Savior, and there can be no salvation apart from him. And he gives his people an understanding of his salvation, whereby we know the true and living God. And we believe and are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him, committing all to him, being persuaded fully that he is salvation and that what he's promised us we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that because he reveals it to us. And so we have a knowledge of him. We have a knowledge of his salvation. We have a knowledge of God by him, so that he is the very salvation that God has provided for all his people scattered throughout the world. And God's people receive that. We believe, yes, Lord, you are the light of the world. You are salvation. And others hear it and are indifferent to it. But God's people hear it and rejoice in what he says. The second thing that our Lord says here is that he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. So that it's not enough for us to recognize that Christ is the Savior. There's a lot of people that would say, yeah, Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the Savior of men. It's not enough just that he's the Savior. The Lord gives his people to know that he's my Savior. He's my salvation. I need him. I need salvation. It's not enough just to give a mental assent that, oh yeah, he's the one that God sent. It's, I need that salvation. I need his blood. I need the forgiveness of sins, which only he can give. And so it's a personal Savior that we come to. We do come to a knowledge of him and rest in him. And so Christ's lost sheep follow their Savior. They're called out of darkness and they follow the Savior. They follow with him continually. And so we follow him, believing that he is the Savior, that he's my Savior and that I need him. This isn't just some religious thing where I just choose to be a Christian as opposed to a Catholic, as opposed to a Muslim, as opposed to whatever. we believe the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's my Savior, who I need, because I've offended a holy God and need that which God has provided freely and in grace in his Son. And so the children of God, we feed upon him who said, I am the bread of life. And we see him who said, I am the light of the world. And we enter into life through him who said, I am the door. We enter in through Christ, and we follow him who said, I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. And we believe him who said, I am the resurrection and the life. All who believe me have eternal life, and I shall raise him up at the last day. We trust him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We believe him. We trust him. And we abide in him who said, I am the vine. He's made all things to the believer. And we follow him. You know, there's a description of the believers, of the children of God, in Revelation 14, verse 4. And they're described as being 144,000 virgins. And they sing the song of redemption. They sing the song which every believer knows, and only believers know. We sing the song of God's grace and mercy for us, provided in his Son, Jesus Christ, how that he redeemed us by his blood, delivering us from the condemnation that we so rightly deserved because of our sins and our offenses against God. But he delivered us in Christ, so that's our song. We rejoice. We praise God for the salvation he's given us in Christ. And it says in Revelation 14:4, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. And what the Lord's teaching us there is that we're not defiled with the whore of Babylon. Right? We're not defiled by that false religious way, that false doctrine that speaks of salvation by something we do or some other way. No. We're not defiled with the whore of Babylon, we're saved by the blood of Christ. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And the picture there is like Israel of old when they came out of Egypt. And they were led by the cloudy pillar by day and the fiery pillar by night. And when that pillar stopped and stood still, they stopped and stood still. And when that pillar went, they went. And so they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And these were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb, meaning that we are his very purchase. We are the purchase of our God, of our Savior, of our the Lord Jesus Christ. And so by nature how does man walk? He walks in darkness. He walks in darkness to God, darkness to what he means, darkness to an understanding of his salvation, ignorant of the things of God and what God has declared so plainly in his word. And yet it's all darkness to them. We're told in Isaiah 60, verse 2, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. And what it's saying there is that all man walks in a thick, heavy, blanketing darkness, so that they cannot see. It's a gross darkness. And that's where we are by nature. And we need to be delivered, led out of that darkness. We need the grace of God. We're nothing apart from him. We're never going to find our way out. We're never going to get ourselves out of that blanket. It's like being a one-year-old child that just has some motor skills and you throw a big blanket over them, like an Afghan or something like that with the holes in it. And they're stuck. They ain't ever getting out of it. And that's how we are, right? Until you come and you pull that thing back for them and lift it off of them, they're stuck under that gross darkness. That's how we are, stuck under that gross darkness until the Lord strips it away and removes that veil that's covering our heart, that's preventing us, keeping us from seeing him and from knowing him and believing on him. And that brings us to the third thing that our Lord says. All right, so he says, I am the light of the world. Then he says, he that followeth me shall not remain in darkness. He's going to bring us out of darkness. And then he says, he that followeth me shall have the light of life. Shall have the light of life. In Isaiah 42, verse 7, we're told why our Lord came, what he accomplishes in his coming, what he accomplishes in his redemption, what he accomplishes for you, his people, in his salvation. And we're told in verse 7, it's to open the blind eyes and to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And so our Lord brings us out of that darkness. Right? He brings us, he delivers us from that prison that we're all in by nature in Adam, where we can't get ourselves out of it. And so if you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, you see here what Paul writes to us. Ephesians 4, let's look at verse 17. Now many hear this as a command to their flesh. The blessing that when you read this, see this is what the Lord's declaring to us is, this is my will for my people. He's making known to us what his will is for us, so that we desire for that to be revealed in us as God wills it and purposes it in his people. And we begin to seek him by faith. We seek his face, that this be revealed in us. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. This is the will of God for his people. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. And so, by declaring this, what the Lord does is he's showing us, this is my will and purpose in saving you. This is what I accomplish in the hearts of my people, to deliver you from this. And seeing this is the will of my God for me, and what he's accomplished for me in his Son, we don't have any power in the flesh to effect this, or to deliver ourselves, or to make this happen. We seek him by faith, believing, Lord, this is your will and purpose for me in Christ. And you deliver me from darkness. Lord, deliver me. I pray, I beg you, Lord, have mercy on me and your Son. Keep me ever following you. Lead me out of darkness. Lead me out of the lusts and the passions of the flesh here in this life, that I may walk in the light of Christ always before you. And he gives us that heart and that desire, beholding, this is the will of my God for me, why he saved me in his Son. And so Christ makes us followers of him. It's the Spirit that gives us life. It's the Spirit that makes us born again, born of the seed of Christ, born to know him and to be servants of our Lord, children of our Lord, crying out, Abba, Father, have mercy upon me. And so he reveals this faith in us whereby we believe and walk after him. And him having removed that thick veil of darkness, as he does for all his children, removing nature's darkness, we behold his light, we hear his voice, we believe Christ, and we abide in that light. We continue in him, all thanks to the glory and praise of our God. And he keeps us growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, and that's what he does for all believers. He delivers them from death, eternal death, and delivers them unto his kingdom of light, his kingdom of life, his salvation. Our Lord tells us in John chapter 3, why don't you turn there, John chapter 3, because we'll come back to that chapter in a moment. John chapter 3, 35 and 36, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. And when our Lord says, I am the light of the world, he's just saying that verse in another way, that the Father's given all things into my hand. I am the giver of life. I am salvation. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And so, we that believe Christ, the Lord's saying, you have life. You believe because God has given you life. And you believe as a living soul, as a living child of God, you believe. You cannot do anything but believe on his salvation and trust him. And we've been delivered from the wrath of God, because where the wrath of God remains, that's where unbelief is. That's where you see unbelief, where the wrath of God continues on them. Now, we all were children of wrath at one point, and God delivered us. So the hope is we keep preaching. We keep declaring the truth, because it's God who delivers out from that wrath, who brings them into Christ in a knowledge of what he's accomplished for his people. And so man's not going to deliver himself from that thick darkness. It's by the grace of God. Now, let's move on to the second and final point. And this one's much, much more brief. This is the condition of those men who do not see the light of Christ. They're left to themselves, and being left to themselves, they will not believe Christ. And our Lord says in John 8:21, we're coming back to 3, but in John 8:21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way. Ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Our Lord has shown us, we've seen in the first part there, that our Lord saves his chosen seed. He's going to reveal faith in his people. He's going to reveal salvation in them. They're going to see his light. They're going to follow him out of darkness. And they're going to abide in Christ, in the light of Christ. But these Jews here that Christ was speaking to, these Pharisees, they would not believe Christ. They would not hear him. They argued against him. They challenged him at every point. They resisted the truth that he was declaring to his people. And it says, the reason why, we're told, is in John 3, verse 19 and 20, where our Lord says, this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Christ is the light of the world, and he's coming to the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And so the Lord is speaking to these Pharisees, and he tells them, I go my way. In other words, I'm going to accomplish the salvation work that my Father sent me here to do. I go my way. I'm going to do the will of my Father. I'm going to the cross, and I'm going to lay down my life for my people and shed my blood to cover their sin and to give them life. I'm going to accomplish the will of my Father. Nothing's going to stop me. And he says, and ye shall seek me. In other words, you're going to look for a Messiah. You're going to look for salvation. It won't be Jesus of Nazareth that you're looking for, because ye will not believe me, he said. But you're going to seek salvation. And they're going to continue to look for one according to the flesh's expectations. They're looking for salvation. Looking for a Savior is very fleshly. They just want to be saved. And it's especially true when man comes into calamity. When he comes into trials and difficulties in his life, he's going to seek for salvation. And for many, it will be too late. You know, there's many that have heard the gospel, that have heard the grace of God in Christ, and they forget all about it, and then they come into calamity, and they turn around, and they start looking for the sea. What did he say? How is salvation? What did he say about salvation? I can't remember now, because that hardened path that they've trampled upon, that they've walked over and hardened, all that seed that fell there has been picked up and taken away by the birds. And by the time they go back to look for it, they have no recollection of salvation. They don't remember. They don't remember Christ who said, I am the light of the world. They don't see him as the Savior like you do. They don't see their need of Christ. They never followed him. They didn't see his light. They don't understand it at all. And so they might look for salvation. They'll run to what their hands can do. They'll run to the idols of man and the false ways of man. But Christ says, you will not find it. You won't find me. You won't find the truth. And so they rejected the light, right? Because they were reproved. He reproved their works as being false. He reproved their works as being fleshly. He reproved their works as being insufficient and not pleasing to God, that they could not save them, and they were offended in that. They were offended, or they thought it foolish to trust him. And so he says, you shall die in your sins. You shall die in unbelief without a remedy for your sin. So our Lord is showing there what a blessing he's given to his people to hear. You that hear that those blessed words, I am the light of the world, and you say, yes, Lord, you are the light of the world. You are. You're my light. You're my salvation. You're such a merciful and blessed Lord, so kind to me when my sins don't deserve any of your kindness. But the Lord shows us mercy and grace, that he is salvation, that he is your salvation. And that's grace, because we see what man is left to himself. He will not believe. He will not hear. He's going to look for salvation one day, but he ain't going to find it. He's not going to find it because he refused the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless the Lord, you that believe. Continue in his salvation. Continue in him. Trust him. Seek him. And never be turned away from him. Beg the Lord that he keep you. So I pray the Lord bless that word to your heart. Amen.